Well, good morning to everyone. I bring greetings from Maranatha Baptist Church, Aguilar, Pangasinan, Philippines. And such a joy and a blessing to be here this morning. And thank you, Brother Jeremiah and Sister Allison, for those Nepal team, for your testimony. Really blessed my heart, you know. While I was seeing the pictures, you know, I had this thought. I thought the Philippines was bad. I mean, living life in the Philippines, we consider a third world country, but man, that was something. And thank you for sharing with us. And it's a blessing to see fellow young people who give their life to God. Today it's very rare. But I would like to encourage everyone, you know, we are on the winning side. Amen? At the end of the Bible, all of these things that is happening and what will happen, we will win with Christ. And so it doesn't matter what circumstances we go through, what difficulties, what problems we face, we have God at our disposal. And this morning, thank the Lord for the wonderful opportunity to preach the whole counsel of God. And thank the Lord for Pastor Johnny and Sister Lydia and the Tan family for their friendship and wonderful fellowship. It's such an honor for me to stand before you this morning. I'm a bit nervous, this morning I would like to preach. You know, this is Father's Day, and as a young preacher, there's this fear in my heart that to preach on some things that I haven't experienced yet. And in fact, that was my struggle in my ministry. And I often ask pastors, you know, what to do, you know? This Father's Day, I'm not even a father yet. It's Mother's Day, what to preach, you know? But, you know, one pastor said, he asked me, are you preaching about hell? I said, yes. Have you been there? No. So what's stopping you to preach, you know, on Father's Day? And that gave me the courage and the confidence from God's word. Yeah, the Bible did say, John 17, sanctify, God gives us the encouragement to sanctify us in the word, because thy word is truth. So this morning, I would just like to give that as a thought, and I mean, just an opening. If you open your Bibles with me in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 to 12, I would like to ask everyone to stand up to give reverence in the reading of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 to 12. We will read this responsibly and read this aloud, loud and clear. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 to 12. The Bible says, verse 1, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother.
He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live.
Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline thy words of my mouth.
Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee.
Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. Altogether in verse 12, when thou goest, thy steps shall be not straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful morning, for the new life and new strength that you've given to us. We praise you, O God, for your faithfulness in our life. And this morning, Lord, I pray that as we come through your word and in your presence, I ask that you would give us the blessing of your word, that you would prepare the hearts of the people to have an open heart and an open mind and an open ear to receive the blessings from your word. I pray that you would bless me, O God. I would admit, Lord, that I know that I can do nothing without you. And I submit to you this morning. I submit myself. Empty me of self. Cleanse me of sin. So that I may preach with thus saith the Lord. O Lord, you know the needs of this the brethren here in Ambassador Baptist Church. And I pray that you would use your spirit to speak to our hearts. Amen. To challenge us. To stand for our faith and to contend for our faith. And that we might glorify you in our lives. O Lord, speak to us and challenge us this morning. If there's anyone here who doesn't know you as his personal Lord and Savior, who's not sure of heaven, O Lord, I pray that this day will be the day of salvation. Amen. And so, Lord, we commit all of these things and give thanks in Christ's most precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. When I was growing up in the church, Proverbs 4 has been a passage that my parents always read to us. And it's a blessing because upon reading and reading and reading, I've grown to memorize this passage. And this morning, I would like to encourage the father, since it's Father's Day. I'm reminded in Genesis that a father, when you are young people and then you get married, you know, husband to a wife, and then you have a child, then you become a father. And here we find, and we can see in verse 1, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, to attend to no understanding. My message today is entitled, The Purpose of Fatherhood. Okay, being a father has a purpose. God's word gives us instructions and principles that we can understand, we can learn this morning. And here we find in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, if you open with me your Bible, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You see the words father there, and you know, God's design for a family is that when, you know, a man shall leave his father and then his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And that's the principle we find in God's word. And I thank God for godly men, you know, who follow and fear God's word. And, you know, this is one thing that you don't see anymore, especially in the Philippines. Sometimes they don't want to leave the house, you know. And here we find in this passage, a man and wife. And today is a very sensitive issue because the world is putting in our throat that you can biblical marriage is not in anymore. They say you can marry a man, and man can marry, you know, woman to woman can marry, but the Bible says a man and woman. But here we find here in this passage that a man leaves his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You say, it's Father's Day. How about the mothers and the children? Well, you know, even though you're a mother or children, you have a great role to support a father. Every success of a man is, behind this is a woman, okay? Yeah, so it's a great role. I mean, even though you're here, you're a wife, would like to just point out the responsibilities of a father, the purpose of a father. Number one, the purpose of a father is to provide. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Fathers, let me encourage you this morning. No, it's not the government's job to provide for your family. It's not anyone's job to provide for your own family. It's your job to provide for your own family. And this provision is done through physical, material, financial, but most importantly, spiritual. The Lord, you know, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. The Bible says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on thy gates." So, for fathers here, you know, one of the purpose of being a father is to provide for your family. I know it's important to provide the physically, the material, and the financial, but today we need fathers who would provide for the spiritual. I'm surprised and sad to see many of our families are being broken because there's no father to provide the spiritual aspect. Many fathers today are so busy with the things of the world, you know. If I can just give my child a good education, good gadgets, and all the things of this world, maybe they will grow up right. But that's not true. You know, there are so many intellectual people all over the world. I remember one pastor from a Christian school conference said, the Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." You can educate your child academically, but when he doesn't have Christ, he can be like an intellectual robber, intellectual criminal. You know, we need God in our life. We need God in our family. Fathers, your children need God. Who's going to bring God to them? Who's going to teach God to them? Who's going to preach God to them? We cannot expect the television to preach God to them. We cannot expect the internet to preach God to them. We cannot expect Facebook or Twitter or Snapchat or whatever social media there is. The father should provide. Just like, you know, in our Christian life, we have God the Father to provide us everything, and also most especially His Word. So, one question for the fathers this morning is, how is your home? Is your home a place where your children can learn spiritual things? Is your home a place where they can listen to God's Word? Is your home a place that they can grow in faith? Is your home a place that they can know God and love God? You know, here in Singapore, seeing all the many things, the great things, any man can father a child. But it takes more than that to father a child. Let us not be so focused on material things that we forget the needs of the spiritual needs of our children. And you know, sadly, in the Philippines, even though we're considered a third world country, it's happening like that. Families are in a mess because of the absence of the father. And fathers, if you love your children, I've read this in one book, it said, today in the 21st century, if you love your child, spend time with your child. Love today can be spelled time. You know, so if you love your children, if you love your child, be with them. You know, provide for them. To provide physically doesn't always mean that you would give them something. You know, you give them what they want. But please take note: have the heart to give them what they need, what they really need, what not what they want. And what they need is you. Amen. What they need is your time, your presence, everything about you would be a help for your child. And we struggle with this because in the Philippines, it's a trend to find a job abroad. And most of our young people's motivation is, you know, bless God, after I graduate college, I'm going to go to other countries to find work so that I can provide this and that to my children. And totally neglecting the spiritual aspects of the needs of their child. So not only that, but to provide virtually, to provide for the family, but also number two, to promote God. The purpose of a father is to promote God. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. The Bible says, "And ye fathers." So we know who is the context here of this verse. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here we find a very personal message from God to fathers. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, if you have your pen, especially for the fathers, underline the word wrath. Other words is anger. Okay? The Bible commands us to raise the children and provoke not our children in wrath. In other words, do not raise them up in anger. You know, violence destroys the home. Miscommunication destroys the home. And when we raise our children in anger, they will have bitterness in their heart. There was this conference that I was able to come, and a preacher said this to amongst the pastors. You know, the hidden sin among Baptist churches is anger. And the first time I heard that, I was like, what does he mean? And he put it in the context of being a pastor. You know, sometimes preachers get riled up because of the problems of the church. And when he preached angrily. You know, he will preach something like things about in his heart. And instead of letting the Spirit of God work and speak, angry words come out of his mouth. And just like the same thing. And you know, when a pastor does that, there's bitterness in the heart of members. Sometimes the members will think, oh, pastor is pointing at me, you know. Pastor is, I'm in his notes, you know. And so, but it's similarly, like a father, when we raise our children in wrath or in anger, that will be the same thing. Yeah, it will happen the same thing. They will have bitterness in their hearts. And, you know, problems in our life come when we don't know how to handle things. You know, you talk about financial problem. Why do you have financial problem? Because you don't know how to handle your finances. Health problem. Why do you have health problem? It's because you didn't know how to handle your health. You know, school problems. You know, I'm failing. My grades are all going down. Why? Because you didn't know how to handle your studies. And when you have family problems, I mean, the truth is that you didn't know how to handle your family. But in spite of that, you know, God will allow problems in our family so that the next generation will know how to handle them. And it's true in my life because I learned from my father a lot. I mean, many things in his life, the good and the bad, are lessons to me. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to what? To anger, lest they be what? Discouraged. It doesn't matter what kind of good principles or good advice come out of your mouth when you talk to your child, but if you're angry, they'll be discouraged. Instead of learning, instead of dealing, you know, my personal testimony, I got beaten a lot by my parents. I was this kid who's just so mischievous and I did a lot of pranks, I did a lot of silly things inside and outside the church. And so I would always go to a room with my parents to have a conference. And they would just, you know, bless their heart. I know they meant well, but because of their anger, you know, sometimes cannot control. And one or two things that happened or times that happened that they spanked me out of anger. But, you know, every time that they would do it, I mean, there are many times also that they just dealt with me with God's word. And they would ask me, do you know why would we spank you? You know, some parents, you know, because of their anger, they become the Incredible Hulk. It's like, ah, pow, 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 pow. But that doesn't work, you know. Your child will just have bitterness, and they will get discouraged. But when you explain, the Bible did say, spare not the rod. Although nowadays, I don't know here in Singapore, but in the Philippines, you cannot touch a child anymore. I mean, especially in America. They have rights for the children. You cannot discipline your child. And, you know, if you discipline your child and the child complained, they can report you in the cops and you might get in jail because of disciplining your own child. I had a wonderful privilege and opportunity to visit the United States of America last year, and I have to find out if that's true. And it is true. There are some parents in jail because of of their kids, saying that, hey, my mama and papa, they spanked me, arrest them. They talk about human rights. And you know, the political correctness of this world is really something. And as my profession is as a teacher, I can remember in our handbook, you know, with regards to disciplining a child, you just need to advise them. But growing up, I don't know, some Filipinos here, if you remember your elementary days, some of the teachers, you know, aside from a pen and a notebook and a book, they're also holding a stick. You know, and when we get naughty or disobedient, you know, they spank us. But nowadays, you cannot do that anymore. But the thing here is that we need to promote God. You know, when we raise our children and when we discipline our children, we need to allow God's word to work in their lives and control that anger. You know, have you seen an angry kid? If you ask questions like, why is he angry? And in our church, there are some angry kids, you know, and when I look at their life, I see how they were raised in anger. So as parents, I know this is not easy. This is challenging. Because if I were your son, you would know it's not easy. You know, I've received many, I have scars all over my body because of discipline. But, you know, I thank God for them. Amen? It taught me, you know, if I see my scar, oh, this is because I disobeyed my mom. You know, it's a constant reminder. And, I, you know, just like God, you know, God the Father, the Bible says, he that chastiseth not his son, loveth not his son. Okay? And that's a thing we can see, our relationship with God the Father. If we are truly his child, when we do something wrong, he will chastise us. And some of the young people said to me, you know, Pastor, how about me? I'm doing wrong. I'm not, and God is not doing anything. Better check yourself if you're a child of God. Because a loving parent would not let his children or his child continue in sin. He will try his best to guide and to promote God in the heart of his child. You know, we need men. We need fathers who believe the Bible. We need fathers who believe the principles of God's word. Regardless of what the world is telling us, or what we see on our neighbors, what we see on our friends, we need to hold on to God's word. Number three, not only that, the purpose of the father is not only to provide, to promote God, but also to prominent. The first word that I come up with this is to be, a dad should be preeminent. But that's a bit of a mouthful. So, prominent, you know. Being prominent means to lead. Amen? Amen? A father should set directions for his house, for his home. Let's open Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. The Bible says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. You see, the relationship of a husband to the wife, whereas the Bible says husband is the head of the wife, not the other way around. So, we understand here that the man should lead. Amen? Man should be prominent in the house, in the home. Just like Christ is the head of the church. One of the things that encourages me to know, even though I'm a young pastor and I lack in so many things, because Christ is the head, we can have confidence and we can have hope that we are on the right path, you know. But somebody needs to lead. Brethren, who is leading your house? Who is leading in your home? Is the television leading your home? Is the internet leading your home? It's sad to say that some kids would rather spend their time facing their phones and their iPads rather than with their dads. And in the Philippines, it's a sad truth, you know. They would listen to the television, to this, all of these worldly things, rather than their own father. Why? Because there's no leadership. Fathers should be a good example to their kids. And sometimes, you know, it's very difficult because In our church, fathers would come up to me, "Pastor, I need to do this job. Otherwise, I cannot send them to school." You know, the Bible did say, if we are faithful, God will provide for our needs. And I always emphasize this verse because sometimes we understood it as God will provide our wants. God didn't say God will provide for our wants. He said God will provide our needs. Sometimes we overwork ourselves because we want to provide for our wants. Does that make sense? You know, it's amazing. We will skip church with a stuffy nose, but go to work with pneumonia on Monday. Is that true? I mean, that's true in our church. I don't know here. And it's sad to know that we would sacrifice the things of God for the things of the world. And so we need leadership. You know, our families are famished in leadership. Our families are parched for directions. And so I encourage our dads, you know, because the father has a great role in this. And so you see here, we can see here in this passage that the purpose of father is to be prominent, to set directions. I've come upon this quote. It says, it's not in the screen, but let me say this to everyone. Your talk talks and your walk walks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Did you get that? I'll say it again. Your talk talks and your walk walks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. In other words, do what I say but not what I do. And that should not be what's happening in our family or what's happening in our fathers. And so please understand that this passage is encouraging us to lead our children, to lead our family closer to God, to promote closer to God, to be with God. And lastly, not only that the purpose of fatherhood is to provide, to promote God, to be prominent, but also to protect. Amen? To protect your family, to protect your child. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. The Bible says, "My son, give me thine heart." Amen? Amen. Fathers, where's the heart of your child? Do you have the heart of your child? "And let thine eyes observe my ways." Well, this is God talking to us, God the Father talking to us. But you can use this, fathers, for your own need. I mean, for if you want something, a guide for yourself as a father, you can use this and ask this question. You know, where is your child's heart in you? I mean, do you have your child's heart, or your child's heart is on his friends? Or on other things, or physical things, or material things. You know, you need to examine our hearts, because in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The word "keep" there means to guard. Okay? So if you are asking for a child's heart, there's a understanding here that we need to guard their hearts. And let me say this, parents, if you lose the heart of your child, I mean, most of the things you will say to them, would that make sense? Whether it be good or bad. So fathers, are you guarding the heart of your child? Why do we need to guard their hearts? Because from our heart is what? Are the issues of life. It's sad that to see parents, you know, give advice to their children, but then the children would not listen. But, you know, I see that kind of situation in our church, and I ask them, you know, I can see that there's no heart connection. And is it true that the same thing with our relationship with Christ, with God? If we don't have a heart connection with God, the Bible doesn't make sense to us. Amen? The Word does not make sense. If we are not saved, you can read all the Bible you want, but you know it would not make sense to you. Because you don't have a heart connection with God. And so these truths we can see here, these four truths that we can see here, I hope that it will be an encouragement to you and a challenge to you to really value these truths in our life. In closing, let's open Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. And I would like you to let us read this all together. We have heard the truth this morning. I know some of them are not easy to hear and very straightforward to from God's word, but those are truths from God's word. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23, the Bible says, let's read all together, ready, begin. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And it goes on in verse 24, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Brethren, buy the truth. The word buy there doesn't mean, you know, oh, how many sing dollars? Okay? Buy means to value the truth. Value it above everything else. Value God's word above everything else. And interestingly, the next phrase is sell it not. I'm reminded of Jacob and Esau, how Esau sold his birthright for a soup. Can you imagine that? A birthright is a very precious thing, you know, but because of a soup, he sold his birthright. Brethren, do not sell God's word. Do not sell the principles. Do not sell the truth. If God is leading you to a decision or something that you need to do for your family, and it's very hard, you know, just keep at it and humbly obey God's word. And purpose in your heart that what you read in God's word is not for sale. Because Satan is in the buying business. He wants to buy what's in your heart. And when you sell it to him, there will be consequences. And the Lord, you know, when you understand the word of God, God designed the family to be very beautiful. You know, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. And when that happens in marriage, Ephesians 6:1 will happen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a beautiful thing? And if the husband will not, I mean, it's like a domino effect, you know? If the husband does not love the wife will not submit. Does that make sense? And if the wife would not submit, you know, they will fight, and the children will not obey. And so, my encouragement this was mentioned by Pastor Johnny after Jeremiah showed the slides. I hope this will be the prayer of every father here or every parent here. 3 John chapter 1, verse 4. Can I ask the parents to read this with me? Ready? Begin. I rejoice greatly that I find of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. So I hope that encourages us and challenges us this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes before I ask Pastor Johnny to come up for invitation. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful privilege. I know, Lord, that it's not me, but it's all about your word. And this morning, I pray, O God, that you will continue to work through the hearts of everyone here, including myself, that we will purpose in our hearts, especially to the fathers, Even though those who are not father yet, who will become a father soon, or eventually become a father, for these men here, that they would value your word and not sell your word to anything. And Lord, I pray that you will humble our hearts. Let not pride be in our way this morning, and be the reason that we will not have any commitment in our hearts this morning. Oh Lord, speak to us and work in our life, and help us to value family, our families. Help us to value the chart of our the heart of our child, and just like Lord, our relationship with you. I pray that we would continue to abide in your word, that we will love your word because you are our Father, because you care for us, you provide for us, you keep us, you guard us, you're preeminent, you love us. And so help us, Lord, to understand these things and keep this in our hearts. And if there's anyone here who is hurting, who has any struggles, who has anything that is in his heart that is messing them up, I pray, O God, that you would give them peace and comfort from your word. And help us, Lord, to stand for the truth. Help us, Lord, to contend for the faith. Help us, Lord, to preach your word boldly and and apply them in our lives. And so, Lord, I give you all the glory and honor and praise in Christ's most precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Pastor Sumatra. I hope you will be a child. Yeah, it's been a challenge for you. I personally have been challenged. I think I just want to highlight one thing I've learned. When a child don't listen to us, it doesn't mean that they don't want to listen to us. It could be something as a parent we have said and done that may have offended them in our lives. And I think it's important for us as fathers to take responsibility for our own Christian lives. Say, Lord, you check me first. And then humble ourselves if we have said things and done things wrong to our children. And it will be so amazing for children to realize actually that is also humbling or humble, and be willing to confess any sins that they have done. I can tell you, when we take responsibility for our Christian life, the children can see that example. And I just want to say also another thing. I'm not, when I cry about Joanna just now, I'm not saying she'll come back a spiritual giant. Okay, I just want to make it clear. It's not, wow. She's still having the old man in the flesh, just like all of us. In our spirit, we still have to wrestle, and we still have to overcome by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. One of the key things is the obedience that we all need. Okay? And so I hope that as fathers, you have received something in your heart today. Actually, all of us have probably heard this before, yes? We need to lead the house. We need to provide for the house. We need to, what's that? We need to protect the house. We heard that before. The key thing is, are we actually leading the house? Are we actually guarding the heart of our children? Are we providing them the spiritual things that they need? Are we promoting God in the house? I know we heard this before. It's time to just do something about it. Okay? So let's just close in a word of prayer. Let's just pray before we do something else. Lord, we thank you for what you have done today. And I'm praying that your Holy Spirit will touch the heart of every dad in this room. I pray, Father, that your example of fatherhood, your holiness, your justice, your mercy, but God, also your compassion, your love. And Father, as we see you as a Heavenly Father providing for the Israelites in the Egyptian wilderness, how you protected your people, Lord, in the days of King Hezekiah, where you sent your own angel to destroy 180,000 enemies that will destroy your children, and how, Lord, you let your children provided for them. And Lord, even as you love them and provided for them, help us to see, Father, our role as earthly fathers to protect our children spiritually, provide for them spiritually, Lord, to ensure, Lord, that we will love them with your love. And sometimes it may mean, Lord, a discipline. Sometimes it may mean a spanking in the back. Sometimes it may mean a withdrawal of privileges. But help us to realize your love as we do all these things. Your eyes closed, heads bowed. Just one question. Fathers, would you like me to pray for you? Anyone who God has spoken to you about certain things in your life and said, Pastor Johnny, pray for me that I will be the father I need to be. Amen. I see that hand. Anyone else? Fathers, amen. Amen. Anyone else? Fathers? All right, let's just pray. Fathers, for those, Lord, Heavenly Father, for those that put up their hands, I pray you give them grace and strength to fulfill this, Lord. And Lord, in the coming Friday and Saturday with the family conference, I pray you give us more insight into how we need to be better fathers for you, for our children, for our wives, for our family, and for the glory of God. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We humbly thank you for what you will accomplish in every family because of this message. And thank you, Lord. I pray for Pastor John Sumatra, who will just preach the word as it is. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless his church back home, and that the fathers too will get a message they will not forget, and they will change for the glory of God. Thank you for what you're going to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.